are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. You're setting your mind not on the things of God, but on the things of people. You're setting your mind not on the things that God would have you do, not on the way that God would have you live, not on the path that God would have you walk, but on human understanding, human ways, human conceptions, human expectations. This rebuke from Jesus must have hit Peter square between the eyes. He's just made a proclamation of who this Jesus is. They were on their way up to Caesarea Philippi, which is in the north. It's a mixed community, heavily pagan in their worship. There's a temple of Pan there, and I don't mean the stuff that you spray on your pans. I mean, it's Pan, the god. There's quite a few pagan worship practices that go on there at Caesarea Philippi, and they're going up into this territory, up into enemy territory, if you will. And they are being asked by Jesus, who do people say that I am? And they've been discussing it, and they've been arguing it back and forth. One of Elijah, one of the prophets, and Peter gets his guts up. I mean, you got to remember, Peter's not the smartest guy, not the smartest of the disciples, not the best educated, doesn't have the best background, the best family background. He's a fisherman, probably smells like fish still. You know the type. But he's gotten a glimpse of who this Jesus is. He has an understanding who this Jesus is. He has come to believe that this Jesus is someone special beyond the ordinary, not just another prophet. And so when Jesus says, who do you say? Not what other people, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the one sent from God. You are the Messiah of God. He got it right. Oh, he must have felt good. I got it right. Finally got an answer right. It must have been rather depressing to hear Jesus say, shh, keep quiet, don't let anybody know. And if you think about it for just a minute, it makes sense. After all, they are not in the midst of strong Jewish territory. They're up now around Caesarea Philippi amongst all those pagans. And the Messiah's job is a rather stiff one. The Messiah's job is not very good to pagans. The Messiah was expected to wipe out the powers and forces of occupation from the Roman Empire, supposed to set right the worship of the Hebrew people and get rid of all of the Gentile mixtures that have been filling the temple worship services, get rid of the Greek language that was being spoken, get rid of the Roman religious practices, and establish right worship, the kingdom of David, and truly the way of God in peace. That's not something you want bragged and talked about when you're in Gentile territory. So it kind of makes sense that Jesus said, shh, keep it quiet, keep it quiet. Then Jesus starts to teach them the truth, that the Messiah would undergo persecution. He would be submitted to great suffering. He would be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, the scholars, the political and religious authorities of the day would turn their backs on him. But worse still, he would be killed. He would be killed. Messiahs don't die. Messiahs don't lose. Messiahs are victorious. They are reigning kings, military generals, high priests. They wipe out the enemy. They destroy the establishment. They overturn the tables in the temple. They don't get rolled over. They don't get rejected. They don't get persecuted. They don't get killed. We can't be too hard on Peter. Peter knew what Messiahs were supposed to do and be. He knew the job description. He'd seen it. Messiahs don't die. They're victorious. So he pulls Jesus aside and he says, "Far be it from you, Lord." And Jesus' rebuke now must have cut to the bone. "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, accuser. Get behind me. I want to have nothing to do with you. Get out of my way. Accuser, your mind is set on human things, not on the ways of God. Your mind is set not on divine expectations, but on human understandings." All Peter was doing was expressing the faith of the Hebrew people that the Messiah would be victorious. His expectations seemed right. He was doing the best he could with the information he had. And still Jesus rebukes him. Where are our minds fixed? Where is our focus? Are we focusing ourselves on the things of God? Or on human expectations, human dreams, human wants, human desires? Are we focused on the calling of God or on our own calling? Are we focused on the calling of God or on God's calling to us? It's so easy to take your focus off of God and off of God's calling. I must admit that myself, it has been difficult in ministry over the years to realize and accept that God works through bishops. Now, we're going to have a bishop here next week, so now's my chance. There are times when you hear about the appointments that are being made by the cabinet that you think, "My God, what are they smoking? I can't believe they're sending her to that church and him to this church and me to there. Bishop, you must be insane. Bishop, you must be crazy." I became known in the North Texas Conference as the church cleaner upper. I went to a church not long out of seminary where the pastor had a little too much, just a little too much to drink Saturday night, was still feeling no pain come Sunday morning, got into the pulpit and told the congregation what he really thought of them. In the middle of telling them this, he started to get sick to his stomach, turned to his left to the center of the chancel, and projectile vomited out into the middle of the floor. Before he got to his office, there was a phone call through to the district superintendent. And I was there 3 weeks later as pastor. And that was a mess, and it wasn't just the vomit on the floor. That was a mess to clean up, friends. A real mess to clean up. And I went from there to a Podunk Country Church. I thought the bishop had had an embolism or something. It was just a nightmare. They didn't like me. I didn't like them. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. KKK ran me out on a rail. And I went, I thought, okay, now good. We've got this one out of the way. Now I can get a really good appointment. Appointment that fits my gifts and graces, my education, my training. Oh, certainly I'll get a really good theological church with a great congregation, big attendance. And they send me to clean up another mess in Wichita Falls, where the pastor had decided he didn't want to be a Methodist any longer. He converted to the Orthodox Church. Didn't bother telling the bishop for 3 years. Pastored that church, converting it slowly but surely into a Serbian Orthodox Church. And then when he finally got caught, withdrew and tried to take the congregation with him. He took 2/3 of the church. And so I was appointed to clean up that mess. And I was told that I was expected to get half the congregation back, and to get the church out of debt. Wow. I'm not even married, and they want me to build the church that quick? I mean, I can't do it by making my own youth group. I know some clergy friends who've tried that. It doesn't work very well. Well, yeah, in 4 years, we got half the congregation back. We built the church with new members, especially from Shepherd Air Force Base and from the surrounding community. And over time, the congregation was restabilized financially. But it wasn't where I wanted to be. I wanted to be at home. I wanted to be close to my parents. It was quite a drive for my mother and dad to come all the way up to Beverly Drive in Wichita Falls. It wasn't an easy trip, and I was feeling a little bit put upon. I was having a little bit of a pity party. Pity me, pity me. I deserved better than this. Why do I have to be the conference cleanup boy? Well, I got sick, got put on leave of absence, and I thought, oh, now they'll give me a nice plush appointment where I won't have to do any hard work. Yeah, right. I got appointed to clean up another mess, where the pastor had married one widow, trying to get her to pay off his bills, and when she refused, he divorced her and married another widow, trying to get her to pay off his bills. And when she refused, he divorced her and was going after a third member widow of the church when the bishop finally got word about it and put him out. Well, I could tell lots of stories. I didn't want to be a cleanup pastor. That wasn't good enough for me. But apparently, God gave me gifts and graces to enable me to be a pastor to people who are fighting with each other, to enable me to reach out to others and to be a presence of God in their midst. It didn't fit what I thought I was going to do. It didn't fit with the plan that I had for moi, but it was God's plan for me. Oh, my friends, we get ourselves into trouble when we think we know best for ourselves. We get ourselves into trouble when we think that we know what is best for ourselves better than God. We get ourselves in trouble and make our lives not worth living when we fight and struggle against the calling of God. Peter thought he knew what was best. Peter thought he knew what a Messiah was supposed to do and be. He put his foot in his mouth repeatedly. I've put my foot in my mouth repeatedly. I think we all would confess that at some point in our living, in some point in our Christian lives, we have all put our feet in our mouths. We have indeed screwed up. Well, I thought St. Stephen was supposed to be a great, big, welcoming church, that it ought to grow significantly and become much more than it is today. Yeah, hear it. There it goes. Right there. Spiritually, to the hospital we go. Oh, my friends, God has called us to be here this way, who we are, for this time and this season, as we are, to reach those whom God sends to us and to whom we reach out to. We might have grandiose visions, but what is God's vision for us? We might have grandiose visions of what we want to be, and those may be good. But what is God's vision for us? How can we respond? How can we be open to God's vision for us? I believe that God sent me to Cockrell Hill, to Trenton Blue Ridge, to Beverly Drive, to Segoville, because those churches needed me then, and I needed them. And I believe and I praise God that God sent me, notice I say God, not the bishop, God sent me to St. Stephen United Methodist Church because you needed me and I needed you. I believe God works through our appointive system. God, believe it or not, God works through the bishop. Shock. Still, I scratch my head and try to figure out why certain appointments take place, but God works through the bishop. And I praise God I wasn't sent to clean up a mess here. But God appointed me here to be your pastor, to be your friend, your brother, your guide, your companion in this walk of faith, your pastor in difficult times and in good times, in celebrations like next week and in difficult times when family members die, when pain hits. My sisters and brothers, we are the family of God, and we are called to put our minds on divine ways, not our own way, on God's path, not our own path, on God's will, not our own will. We are called to set our minds on God's will for us and step out in faith. Sometimes that's hard. In fact, usually it's hard. But we have nothing better to do. And this rebuke we'll get from Jesus if we don't. My sisters and brothers, as we move into this week and as we move past this week to after the anniversary, may we truly be open to the calling God has for us as individual believers, as groups of believers, as a congregation of faith, as St. Stephen United Methodist Church, as the body of Christ here and now. May we truly be open to what God is calling us to do and to be, and then step out in faith and do it and be the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries.
Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved.
For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.